Now, another item that I need to discuss or bring to your attention this morning before we get much farther. In your bulletins, there should be in the back as you enter. But during our greeting time, if you can make those out and bring them to the front, if you have a personal prayer request that you'd like to be prayed for this morning, we're going to be gathering those in the front here. And then as they are placed in the front, there will be opportunity during the greeting time also to pick them up if you want to pray for them. You can either pray for them out loud or you can pray for them silently during this time and throughout the week. So I'll be explaining a little bit more about our prayer time in a little bit. But we devote the first Sunday of every year, we've done this for years, to prayer, looking ahead at what the Lord, we will be praying for the Lord to be doing and the needs that we have, but primarily focused for the advance of His kingdom work. So we'll be focusing on that this morning, and Pastor Ron and I will be interspersing some scriptures along the way to give us some direction. And I'll explain that in a little bit as well. But having said that, I'd like to have you get up and greet one another and fill out those prayer slips, bring them to the front. You may be seated, but seated to be ready to work in prayer. As I mentioned, our practice over the past many years has been to take the first Sunday of the year and devote it primarily to prayer, praying for ministries, praying for the work of God's kingdom around the world, praying for personal needs together. And each part of the service, we will segment things up to different things to pray for. 2 years ago, we followed the pattern of our Lord's Prayer, which we will say at the very end together of the service, but we followed that pattern for each segment of our prayer. Then last year, we took a range of prayers or passages about prayers from the Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Acts. That was our sermon series for that for the first part of the year. And so we took passages from those two books to guide us in our prayer together. This year, we're going to be taking passages, a few passages from the Gospel of John to guide us. Pastor Ron and I will bring those forward to you and to guide us in our praying. When Jesus came to a situation where there was death, we recently had a death within one of the families in the church here just this past week for Ken Blumenschein. His mother passed away, as Tony mentioned. And so we'd ask for prayer for the family. But when Jesus was headed toward Bethany, where one of his close friends had gotten sick, and he got the word that Lazarus had passed away, he died. But Jesus went on to Bethany with his disciples, and he was approached, first of all, by Martha, who told him, who said to him, "If you had been here, Lord, you wouldn't have died." And then Mary, Lazarus' other sister, whom Jesus knew the family very well. He'd spent a lot of time in their home over the years of his ministry, and they had entertained him and provided hospitality for him. But Mary comes up to him and says to him, "Lord, you wouldn't have died if you had been here." But Jesus had delayed just so that would happen. Strange thing. But Jesus said to her, to Mary, he says, "Mary, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" That's in John 11, verse 40. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." The man who had died came out. You know the story. Most of you know the story. But I want you to look at the prayer that Jesus made there, a very brief prayer. A couple of things that will help direct us as we pray this morning. First of all, it was for the display of the glory of God. Remember, he had told Mary, "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" He knew what he was going to do. He knew what God the Father had empowered him to do. And it was for the glory of God. Secondly, the prayer gives thanks for being heard by the Father. It gives thanks for that privilege, for that communion, for being able to take the need to the Father, and the Father hears. And it shows that Jesus in his earthly ministry was totally dependent upon God the Father here. So it's a thanksgiving, but also an expression of dependence upon the Father for the answer. And then, it was for the sake, the answer was for the sake of those who witnessed the answer, that they might believe in Jesus as God's sent one. So, several things here in that little prayer. For the glory of God, thanksgiving and dependence upon God the Father, and then so that those who witness the answer to prayer might believe in Christ. Is that the way you pray? Those things in mind? You may not have thought about it that way. We ask for all kinds of things, don't we? But do you ask in terms of that those who see the answer might believe in Christ? That's part of the biblical prayer here, the New Testament prayer. We're going to focus on thanksgiving right for the moment here, and I've asked one of our young men to come forward. Jeremiah, if you come forward and would lead us off with fear and trepidation, but he's going to be leading us off, reach, craning his neck up to the mic. And I'd like to open it up for any of the kids after Jeremiah prays to come on up and pray as well, okay? And then we'll open it up for the adults for the next few minutes, and then the kids will be dismissed. But Jeremiah is going to lead us off right now in prayer, and you pray in your hearts with him as Jeremiah prays for all of us. Okay, Jeremiah.
Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful weather we've been having. It's been cold, but it's what you gave us, and I'm not sure about everybody else, but I enjoy it. Please, Lord, have a lot of people come to the concert that will be, and that the bands will play good, and that lots of people will come to the church sale that we will have, and for any families who have lost loved ones during the holidays, that they can recover and come to know you, Jesus, that you did die on the cross for us, so they can accept you.
Okay, it's opened up for any other children to come forward, or any adults for that matter, for the next few minutes. Prayers of thanksgiving.
Father, I want to thank you for answered prayer for Christina Funk, who was in a coma. Interestingly enough, she was at a funeral when she had a seizure, and as a result had 5 grand mal seizures, and then was in a coma for 9 days, and she's a single mom with a 12-year-old. And a few days ago, she woke up from that coma, and I want to thank you for that, Lord. Her first words was she asked if she was dead, and she's alive. She's in therapy now, and is walking. And I want to thank you, Jesus, for giving her life and bringing her back. And I pray, Lord, that this whole episode brings glory to you and brings all the people in her life that may be unsaved closer to you as a result of the blessings that came from many, many prayers from churches and families all over. Thank you.
Father, I just want to say thank you for all the men and women that are here in this congregation, but also the many congregations abroad. For those who have come to know you through the experience of cancer, and Father, those who already knew you but went through it and grew in faith to get to know you more. Father, I want to say thank you for the blessing of those that are still here, and also, Father, the blessings of those who you have called home. Cancer is a huge thing, but I want to say thank you for the good news we've had for those here who have had cancer of any sort. The 5-year marks that were set this year and the other marks of those who have gotten good news going to the doctors and had things come back. And Father, I just want to say thank you that they're still with us today. And we appreciate having them with us.
Father, we thank you for the privilege of coming before you with our petitions this morning to join Christ in this ministry of intercession, of praying for one another, of praying for the needs of the work of your kingdom, for praying for our personal growth and for ministry. We thank you for that privilege, Father, and we join in your very own Son this morning with this together as a church family. So thank you, and we look forward to how your Spirit is going to lead us in praying this morning together as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to let the kids go at this time to their children's church up through fourth grade. And the band will lead us. Now, while we are singing, we have some prayer sheets up here now, petitions. So as we're singing, if you would like to come up, any of you, if you'll move to take one of those or maybe two of those, bring them back to your seat, and you can pray for them during the service, during the week, or quietly or out loud, however you choose. But they will be available during our singing now over the next two songs together for you to pick up. All right?
Thank you, Roger. The ability to do anything we can by ourselves. I don't need your help. I'm good enough to do it on my own. I'll do it on my own. I don't need my parents' help. I don't need their money. I can do it on my own. But if the economy the last few years has taught us anything, it's that you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. And you know what? You actually really do need help. And what's interesting is that Jesus modeled this exact thing for us. I can do nothing but what the Father gives me, is what Jesus says. And in turn, he told us the exact same thing. In John 15, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Now, notice what he's not saying. He's not saying, no matter what you want, I'm going to give it to you because, you know, gosh darn it, I love you and you deserve everything, and I'm the great big Santa Claus in the sky. No, there's a condition to it, isn't there? That little niggling part that goes before that, that says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then. We come to Jesus, we come to the Father, and we ask things, not just because we have need, but because we have need of them, of God, specifically. We cannot do it on our own. In fact, being a Christian, by definition, means you've already admitted you can't do it on your own. The first two steps to becoming a Christian: I have sinned, I need help. What we want to do now is we want to move into a time of prayer, of confession, saying, I have sinned, but also prayers of dependence. Lord, I need you. I need you. I can't do it on my own. I can't make it on my own. So now we're going to open up the mic to those kinds of prayers.
Dear Lord, how could you know that this prayer was the prayer I needed to pray? We decided to start a business this year, and very arrogantly we felt, oh yes, work will come in, and everything will be fine. And when the work didn't come in as steady as we thought, I would get worried because we had bills to pay. And when I finally couldn't figure out what to do, and only at that point would I sit down and say, okay, Lord, I'm giving it up to you. I can't do it on my own, but you can. Then all of a sudden, work would come in again. I went through this three times this year, Lord. You think I'd learn, but I didn't. But I have to, I have to learn that I can't control everything, that I have to ask for your help, because with your help, we can make it through. So my prayer this year, Lord, is that I more humbly fall down and ask for your help instead of trying to do everything on my own. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for who you are, and for everything you do for us. And as that this prayer time is display, Lord, that you'd be with me in a very specific way. Here I am, almost 60, I've never stuck with anything my whole life, and now I got a physical condition where I can't stop what I'm doing ever, if I want to or not, or if I like it or not. I just can't stop doing what I know I got to do, and you know, Lord, I need your help, just like somebody needs to be raised from the dead, miracle. People got cancer and people are healed by a miracle. Lord, I need a miracle that I just somehow would just keep on doing what I'm supposed to do because of my health, Lord. So I pray that you just, I need your help. I need your help, and pray that you just be with me in that way. Amen.
Father, and I thank you for this congregation and just the prayer requests that people are writing down, and testifies to the needs that we have here as people, as your church. And I thank you, Father, for you creating the church, a place where we can make supplication to you and seek you for our needs, Father. I pray for the needs of my family this year as we struggle to figure out how to meet the needs of our grandkids in Texas and them being so far apart from us, Lord. And we thank you that you have a perfect plan. And just pray that you would work in the hearts of all my grandchildren. Pray for Casey and her salvation and her walk with you, and for Jake for his salvation, for Allison for her salvation, Lord. And pray for Sarah Grace. And pray that you would work in her heart. And pray for my daughter Sarah Jane as she has a little baby inside of her, Father. I pray for them and just the needs of all of our children. Father, you know how we fret and care for them and love them. And just pray that you would help us as parents to have wisdom, and pray that we could instill in them character, and pray that they would be challenged to live for Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, we confess as a church the times when the Spirit has prompted us and we've not answered. We confess when we've seen the person in need and we've turned and walked away. We confess the times when we've seen the opportunity to share the gospel, but it just wasn't convenient. We ask for your forgiveness. You'd watch over us and help us to make those changes, that we would be the person that would respond the next time the Spirit prompts us, that we would be the person that would share the gospel the next time we have the opportunity. And we admit that we need you in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. question is, what are we supposed to wish for? Because obviously it's not wish for anything. You know, I can't ask for a brand new car and someone drives up and hands me the keys. Can't wish for $1 million. That's not the kind of things that Christ is talking about. We're supposed to be aligned with His will, not align Him with our will. So then, what is He talking about? Well, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name.
Heavenly Father, leading into what he just said, Heather has asked for praise and care for her mother as she's facing these health issues that she's going through. Because of her going through the cancer and the chemo, she will get into areas of the hospital that would not be open to her without her going through this. With the love that she has for you, may she share it with each person that she comes in contact with, that your will be done, and that through her, people can come to know who you are. And that's a beautiful thing that can only be done being in the same scenario that they're all going through, because they're all going to be scared. They're all going to, they need you, the great healer. And thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. And then, Lord, continue to be with all these young people's hearts that are going to come through to this concert. Holy Spirit, just work in each one of them and get them here that they can come to know who you are through the worship and the bands and the people and the testimonies. Oh, thank you, because we know you're going to do a great job.
Father, thank you for the work that you've already started in Waukegan in the church plant, for all the years that you were laying the groundwork there. And I'd like to pray for Megan and for Luke and for Gil as they work together there. Father, I pray that you'd continue to grow the Waukegan church plant in every way, and that people would enter a hope-filled relationship with you through that ministry. I pray, too, that you would provide all the needs, and that it would be you who get the glory as we see those needs met. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen.
Dear Lord, I pray that you save my, that your will be done through my grandpa's cancer and my grandma's wrist being broken. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Dear Lord, first I want to say, please forgive me because I don't abide in you, and I don't abide in your word the way that I should, and I have no right to ask you for anything, Lord, but even when I didn't deserve to be saved, even when I walked away from you, you followed me, you called out to me, you came to me where I was when I went to places that I shouldn't be, and you gave me not just once, but twice and over and over and over, second chances, third chances, 15,000 chances to be in fellowship with you, to be in relationship with you, to be your daughter who's loved, Lord. And so my prayer that you know, as a frequent prayer, Lord, is that none would be lost. None, Lord. Not just our family, not just our friends, not just those we love or that we appreciate, Lord, but none be lost. That all, even our worst enemies, even those that we think are horrifying and evil and depraved and have no rights, Lord, and whether they're across the world or across the street or across our dinner table at nighttime, I pray, Lord, that you would reach out to them, find them, follow them, touch them, call out to them, Lord, and I know that you do, the same way that you've done to me and to my family, and to everybody who's here, Lord, that we have this opportunity to praise you, to know who you are. And I ask that you just open our hearts continually, day by day, whether it's the ways that Chelsea told us the other day, Lord, that just by being who you created us to be and being where you place us, Lord, that somehow we're a witness and testimony to you. Whether you prompt us to talk and you give us the courage to finally do it. But Lord, I just pray that you help us and that we see an amazing harvest and revival, not just in this country, but in every corner of the world, Lord, because truly, for all this life has to offer, for all the things that we glorify, for all the things that we hold dear, there's nothing here that lasts, there's nothing here that matters, and there's nothing that ever comes close to comparing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
One of the major themes in Christianity is the importance of unity within the church. Jesus talked about I and the Father are one. And then in John 17, if you haven't been reading the different passages before you come in for the Sunday sermons, if you haven't been reading in advance, I highly recommend that as we go through John, you read the chapter in advance, especially when you hit 14, 15, 16, 17. Not saying don't prepare for when I preach next week. But what I am saying is, later on in John, some of these passages are so deep and so practical that if you don't read them, you're really going to miss out on some of the depth that, Lord willing, will be coming from the pulpit. You need to read these passages in advance. And one of them that I really would like you guys to focus on is John 17, when Jesus prays. The whole chapter is Jesus praying. Now, how significant is that? You want to know how to pray? Listen to how Jesus prayed. And one of the first things he prays for is, his Holy Father, keep them, meaning the church, in your name, which you've given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. That they may be one, even as we are one. Before there was a church, Christ was praying for the unity of the church. He goes on to say in verses 20 and 21, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The goal of unity is not to have cookie-cutter Christians. The goal of unity is not that we all look the same and act the same and talk the same. The goal of unity is to win more people for Christ. There's a world of difference between unity and conformity. Unity is different people coming together for a specific reason, a specific purpose, and working together. Conformity is everyone turning into the same person. God is about unity. Not about conformity. God is about unifying together in Christ, that true, we all may become more and more like Christ, but not that we may all become more and more like the elders or more and more like the pastors, but to be more and more like Christ. So during this time, what we would like are prayers for the unity of the church. Whether it be Cornerstone, whether it be your small group, whether it be the church in the United States, or the church throughout the world. And in turn, prayers for the spread of the gospel that comes from the unity of the church, the unity of the church that makes it so attractive to the world.
Lord, I lift my parents' church up to you, as they have just recently voted to close their fellowship, and there's a lot of division and lack of unity there as all of this has come apart. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be at work, that they would not see this as a dissolution of your church, but just of one building. I pray that you would be glorified in the change somehow, that you would bring good about in light of all of the hurt that is happening there. And I just pray that you would protect each of the members of that church, that in this pain, that they would not walk away from you or your church as a whole. I just pray that you would bring miraculous unity with the Holy Spirit, not unity necessarily within person to person, but unity around Christ there. I pray that you would do a work of healing and of growing each of those Christians through this sadness and the death of this little church. And I just pray, Lord, that you would protect my parents in that, that they would be able to find another church, and that they would stay close and even become closer and more dependent in you through this time.
Heavenly Father, as we look at John 17, as we look at our church, we really pray for spiritual growth in our church. We thank you for the leaders we have, Pastor Ron, Pastor Roger, and Pastor Johnny. And we enjoy having an elder board that are responsible and part of the whole run of the church. And as we grow, we need to dig deeper in the Word. And I think John is one of the best books to start with. Many times this is where people first come to know you. And we pray that as we learn to learn more about you, as Nicodemus wanted to understand about salvation in John 3, and as we have the blessing of knowing the Lord, even 2,000 years ago, was praying for us in John 17. In addition to praying for our church as we grow, both spiritually, emotionally, mentally, as we get into Word, we also pray as we see what's happening in our world today. One person asked that we pray for the people who have road rage, that they have patience, but road rage is just one symptom, that people really need to get back to what your Word has to say. And we as Christians need to demonstrate you so that others can be drawn to you. So I pray for each one of us that know you, that the Lord will just shine through our lives so others will be drawn to you as a result of it. In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Cornerstone Community Church. Thank you for all the leadership and all the members that have helped to make this church what it is today. And I pray, my prayer is for us to be self-disciplined, to stay in the Word, to memorize your Word, so that we may grow as a community and we are able to reach out to others and bring more people to Christ. May others be able to see Christ in us, and may everything we do will give glory to you, in Jesus' name.
Well, I'm not sure how to do this without preaching and praying at the same time, but just know that if there's any preaching in here, I'm preaching it to myself too. Father, we do ask for unity, but as we go through the prayer requests that we've had this morning and the confession and the dependence, Lord, if we do not confess our sins to you, we can't be unified with you, and we can't depend on you. So we just ask that that you would make our righteousness in this church more than that of the Pharisees. Father, you've told us if our righteousness does not exceed that of the Pharisees, we shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. I pray that for every person here, that we would be able to check our minds and our hearts and see where we fall far short of your holiness. Sometimes we strive to look excellent on the outside, and when everyone looks at us, we look just fine. But when the pure light of your glory shines in our lives, we fall far, far short. So I would ask that that you would forgive us for the many ways in which we fall short, and in all of our lives. Sometimes those areas are different, Lord. We just ask that you would shine that light on each and every one of us in the area or areas for which there are many, and that you would clean us from within, so that the people that others see on our outsides would be true of our insides. We pray that with David, when we go to battle each day, that we would be able to ask you this year what you would have of us in each particular day, that we would be able to depend on you and be unified with your heart and mind, Lord. For if we're able to be right with you, we will be right with all those in our sphere of influence, Lord. You place us all in different places. We touch different people each and every day. And as Pastor Roger preached a couple weeks ago, if we do business with our sin, if you do business with our sin, we will be clean and vessels able to pour the life of your Holy Spirit into other people's lives, that they might come to know you. So in that respect, we pray that you would make us able to do business with you, that the vessels that you've given each of us, no matter what they're made of, would be clean to receive the Holy Spirit, which you've given to empower each of us. We pray that for our ministry here at Cornerstone, that you would let our light shine into the community and to all those that we rub shoulders with each day, that there would be enough evidence to convict us of being Christians, Lord. I pray that in my life. I pray that you would give us opportunity to share your gospel with others, that they might come to know you, that your kingdom would expand. We just ask that you would make us pure in that respect, Lord. We pray that as we have unity with you, as we walk in your spirit, which you have placed in within us, that we, as Pastor Ron has said, that we abide in you each and every second of each and every day, that the words that we say, the thoughts that we think, and the things we meditate upon would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Grow us for your kingdom. Cause us this year to be, I know I'm stealing from the next portion, but to be intercessors for one another, Lord, to be able to take the bulletin home and pray for the people that are listed in there, and for all the other prayer requests we get each and every week as we walk around and have fellowship with one another in the greeting portions, Lord. People tell us lots of things during Sunday mornings about what's going on in their lives, Lord. Help us to tuck those away each and every Sunday, so that we can put it on our prayer list and actually labor over those prayers as we would labor over our own. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
In the prayer of Jesus in John 17, it actually breaks into three different parts. He begins by praying for himself, interestingly, that the Father would glorify him, but it's for the sake of the Father being glorified through him being glorified. And then in the next two sections, Jesus prays for his first disciples, as Pastor Ron mentioned, and then in the last section for those who are to come and become part of the kingdom through their ministry. I'd like you to note that in addition to the unity, the oneness that is central throughout the prayer that he's praying there, there are certain things that feed into that. For example, in verse 11, he prays, "Holy Father, keep them in your name, that they may be one, even as we are one." Keep them in your name. And then he prays in verse 15, "I don't ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one." That's an important part of our prayer for one another. Prayer that the Lord will keep them from the evil one. And then in verse 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Several times in the prayers has come up about being devoted to Christ, to the word, being in the word and all that. Jesus prayed that. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And then an interesting one in the last part where Jesus prays for future believers in that section. He says, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given to me may be with me where I am to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. He prays for their future presence with him where they can see the full display of his glory in the presence of the Father and to enjoy that and to be given life through that forever. Interesting. Praying for that. Do we ever pray that for one another, for the being in the presence of God? That's something that's legitimate to pray for one another, to pray for that final day and our presence together with him, that we might see fully the glory of Christ. In this last section of our prayer time, prayers of intercession for one another. Some of you have already prayed on the prayer slips that you've had. None of them are up here. That's great. This is a time for you to pray for each other. For those prayer slips silently or at the mic. Either way, the Lord hears them both. We benefit all together when we hear those prayed. Prayer for those who lost loved ones. We want to remember them, for the Greener family and also for Ken Blumenschein and his family that most recently lost his mother. And then prayer for the next generation, just like Jesus prayed for future generations of believers. We want to pray for the next generation as well in this time and not forget them. So we will be praying for one another, and then I'll make some closing comments after that, and we will conclude by saying the Lord's Prayer together, which is in your bulletin. But for now, let's pray for one another.
Dear Lord, I thank you for new beginnings. Thank you for a start to a new year. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, you know how desperately we need you. Thank you, Lord, that I look back on the year, that it's been a hard year, but you have also just blessed in so many ways, Lord. And I thank you for Dante coming to know you this year as his Lord and Savior. Praise you and thank you for that. And I pray that he would continue to grow in you. And I pray for his mother, that she would come to know you, Lord, that we could look forward to eternity with you and that she would be there with us as well, and that you would speak to her and as the way that only you can, in the way that she would understand that you love her and that she needs you. And I also pray, Lord, for my daughters, my two older daughters who don't walk with you daily, Lord, I do pray that they would love you with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, that you would reveal yourself to them, and that specifically Emily would know that you are the only one true God, and that you want a personal relationship with her, that she would be fully devoted to you. And pray for Julia, that you would continue to lead her and guide her, and she would be fully devoted to you also. Increase her wisdom and discernment, Lord. And I pray that for Jessica also, that she would seek you and your will for her in relationships and in direction for her life in general. Lord, I thank you that we can trust you in every situation. So many times we don't know what to do or say, and we do need your wisdom as parents, as friends. I just thank you that you're in control and we can trust you in that. And we want to continue to plead for salvation for those in our families who don't know you.
and all of our friends around us. And I also pray for my friend Lisa, whose husband passed away this year suddenly. And I pray that she would come to know you and trust you as Lord and Savior. And you would give her strength. And she would understand that the strength comes from you. Let's pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus.
Dear Lord, I also pray for Dante's mother, Jennifer, and I just pray that, I don't know what she's been going through, but you do, Lord, and I just pray, as Dante prays, that she will have a brighter year, and that year will include you and knowledge and faith in you, Lord. And as I read his request, I thought of so many of my students whose thankful journals I just read, and Lord, their thankfulness for so many of them having mothers who have gone through illnesses and struggles, Lord, over the past year, and I pray for them as well. And I pray for your might in their lives, and I just pray that you will have an impact in their lives and through those around them, and perhaps through me in some way as well. And Lord, I pray for that whole generation, with Dante and with my students and the other youth who are here, Lord. I just pray that you will be working in them as they are being shaped into the adults of tomorrow, Lord. And I just pray that you will be moving in their hearts and helping them work through the very, very difficult issues that they are facing every day, whether it be issues of health in their families or drug abuse, or there's so many things, Lord. I just pray that you will protect them, that you will work in their hearts and help them to know that through it all, you are God, you are their creator, you love them, and you desire to have them know you in a way that saves, Lord. And I just thank you that we can all stand confident in the work that you've done on the cross, and that as we go throughout this year, that we will have a desire and the courage to share that with those we come in contact with, Lord.
Lord, I just ask that you help be with everybody that's taking medications, so that they take the correct medications at the correct time, so that the medication can work its fullness to help them get over whatever ails them or help to ease their pain. I also want to repeat that you help the drivers with the road rage, that get caught up in the little things, and just help to give them and remind them that patience, and that not everybody is a perfect driver, and just be with everybody as they get upset, and help to remind them of your patience and your will, so that they may, I guess, just relax themselves and be at ease. Just ask for you to be with everybody and help to guide us when we fall off the path, to help to pick us up and show us the way again. Thank you.
Father, I pray for Bill Butterfield and his request that he remember that you want him to put you first at all times. And I pray that for all of us, Father, that this would be our passion this year, that you might be first in our lives. We praise that also for his family, and we pray that for each one of our families, the present generation and the generation to come, that together we would put you first, that we would submit to Christ as our Lord and Savior, and all that he is and all his beauty and greatness as he's been revealed in the Scriptures to us. We thank you for this morning, the prayers, the privilege again of praying, and thank you that you are a God who hears, and you hear better than we pray. We're grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 16, verses 23 to 34, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." It repeats some things he had said earlier in the gospel. He says, "Until now, you have asked nothing in my name." That's the disciples at the time. They will. And he encourages them. He says, "Ask and you will receive." Now look at the outcome of this. "That your joy may be full." God's intention in answering our prayers in a way which is going to be most effective, in a way that matches our deepest desires, his reason for that, his goal in that, is for the fulfillment of our joy in him. And that's where a true joy is always found, in him. That's the outcome of our prayers. And I pray this morning that each of you will have found joy in praying and in hearing the prayers together, and will find joy, that we will find joy together in the answers, the way that the Lord answers them. In the bulletin and also up front, we will have the Lord's Prayer displayed, and we'll say that together before the praise team leads us in our final song. The Lord's Prayer, let's stand together for this. Would you please? As we say together, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." It's been good to be in the presence of the Lord before the throne, hasn't it? Bring the request to him to join our Lord and Savior in that ministry. So it'll be interesting to see how the Lord answers those prayers. And some of those we won't see the big part of that till the final day. So keep looking forward to that. Look forward to next Sunday. Pastor Ron will be doing the message during the sermon that weekend. And please read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. It's listed in the bulletin in case you forget during the week. But read that, because Pastor Ron is going to do something a little bit different within the message. He's going to have, this is a big risk, Ron, he's going to have a Q&A time within the message during part of it. And who knows what will happen or what will come out of his mouth, you know. But anyhow, be prepared for that by reading the passage, and then be prepared with any questions that you may have. And now, "To him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Go in peace.